encamped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people and princes of Gilead said one to another, "What man is he that would begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And we're actually going to go back tonight and begin in verse number 6. And we're going to go down through the end of this chapter, and I'm going to point out five things in this chapter. But if I was given a title, I would get it out of verse number 6. "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria." I would give this a title. Here we go again. And it's just, it's same story, different time. Here we go again. That's what it says in verse number 6. "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord." You know, it looks like after a while they'd learned their lesson, but they never learned their lesson. And before we're too harsh on them, I guess we could say that a lot about our own lives. Here we go again. Same thing, same problem, same troubles. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 9, I thought about this. Solomon said, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun." And so that's how we are as human beings. It's the same old trouble over and over and over again. There's no new thing under the sun. And of all the things that change over time, people, they don't change very much. You know, technology has changed and travel has changed and language changes. There's a lot of things that change. But the people that we read about in the Bible, they are not very different than we are. Human nature stays the same, and thankfully the Lord stays the same. Malachi 1:6, "I am the Lord, I change not." And everything we cover in the rest of this chapter from verse 6 through verse number 18 is all by way of introduction to what we come to in chapter number 11. In chapter number 11, we come to this man named Jephthah. And I'm going to check on just exactly how you pronounce his name. I've always said Jephthah or Jephthah, and I believe that's how you say it. But how does a man like Jephthah become a judge over Israel? He is a man, and we're not going to look at this in great detail tonight, but he's the kind of person that under normal circumstances, nobody would look twice at him. In fact, at the beginning of his life story there in chapter number 11, we find out that really all his brethren, they didn't want anything to do with him whatsoever. So under normal circumstances, they wouldn't have wanted him at all, wouldn't have looked twice at him. But he becomes the judge over Israel. How does somebody like Jephthah become a judge over Israel? The answer we find in chapter 10, verses 6 through 18. And I was really thinking about this today, and I don't want to apply it, but it does apply to us. I think a good way to put it would be like this. Strange times produce strange leaders. Have we not had some strange leaders in America? I mean, Barack Obama, strange leader. Nobody knew who he was. He come out of nowhere. And he really hadn't even made a name for himself, but he became the president of the United States and was so for 8 years. And then that's sort of one extreme side of things, and now we have the other extreme side. Who would ever thought that a billionaire, a TV personality? You know, we have some strange things going on in our country. Strange times produce strange leaders. And we have some strange leaders in the book of Judges for sure. You know, the book of Judges is a type of the last days. The book of Judges, we have a lot of strange leaders. And what's the theme? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's where we are today. Strange times produce strange leadership. There's five things in these verses I want to point out. First of all, here we go again. Number one, there's apostasy. There's the apostasy of the children of Israel. And if you have a Scofield Bible, it will say this, the sixth apostasy and servitude. It said in verse number six, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines and forsook the Lord and served not him. That is a good picture of apostasy. Now, a lot of times we throw that word around, but that word to be an apostate. Apostasy, it is a very specific thing. To apostatize or to be an apostate means this, an abandonment of what one has professed, a total desertion or departure from one's faith or religion. And that is exactly what we find in verse number six. We find from the children of Israel a total departure from one's faith or religion. We find there that they abandon what they once professed. It says that they forsook the Lord and served him not. They apostatized. And so the recurring theme in the book of Judges, or the heading of the book of Judges, can be Judges 21, 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And we could title verse number six, we could call it Anything Goes. That's how low the children of Israel had gotten, that anything goes. And this is a list of all the who's, of all the false gods that we find in the Bible, all these different gods and the things that they represent and how they worshiped and served these false gods. Look how many of them are mentioned here in verse number 6. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And up to now, it's been one of these or two of these. But now it lists all of these. They serve Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria. The gods of Syria were Hadad and Ramon. And the gods of Zidon. The gods of Zidon was the Phoenician Baal. And Baal and Balaam, there's a lot of different ones in the Bible, but they're all the same. When you see the worship of Baal, that's just the worship of the ancient sun god. They worship the sun. And so there's Baal and Balaam. There is, during the days of Ahab and Jezebel. So you have a lot of Baal-berith and you have Baal-zebub, but all of these are the worship of the sun god. And they worship the gods of Syria and Zidon and the gods of Moab. The gods of Moab was Chemosh, and the gods of the children of Ammon, that was Molech. And the gods of the Philistines, was Dagon. You might remember over there where the Philistines, they captured the ark and they took it home and they set it up in the temple of Dagon, and they got up the next morning and Dagon is cut down, and you know, his head and his arms and legs is all cut off, and all it was left was a stump. Remember that? That's over there in 1 Samuel. And so all these false gods, they worship them, and you find all of them put together here in this list. And the worship of these false gods involved all kinds of unrighteousness, all kinds of sin. You see, if we worship God, God is holy and God is righteous. But you worship anybody or anything else, and it does not lead to righteousness. It leads to unrighteousness. It leads to unholiness. It leads to many types of different abominations. Look over in your Bibles. Look in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 18. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. God had warned the children of Israel before they ever got over into the promised land. He had warned them about some things not to do. Now, the things that God told them not to do had to do with the worship of those nations and the gods that they worshiped. They were not to do the way that the nations of Canaan had done. Leviticus chapter number 18 and verse number 26. Look what God had already told the children of Israel. They knew better. But it said in verse 26, "Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among them their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God." Now, in verse number 26, he said, "Ye shall therefore keep my statutes." If you go back into the beginning of chapter number 18, you'll find out what that "therefore" is there for. In verses 2 through 5, he's talking to the children of Israel. "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances." So in verse number 3, God told them what not to do. He said, don't do like Egypt, which you came out of, and don't do like Canaan, which you're getting ready to go into. They're surrounded by all these nations that serve these false gods. In verse number 4, he told them what they should do. "And ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God." In verse number 5, he told them, he said, "Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord." Now, I'm not going to read all these verses, but in verses 6 down through verse number 20, he deals with things that they ought not to do. And some of the things that are listed in those verses: incest, lust, adultery, all kinds of sexual sins. That was how they did in Canaan. God said, don't do like that. Don't do that. For example, in verse number 21, God said, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane." Now, Molech was the god of the Ammonites. And you'll notice that that's who's really giving Israel a problem in Judges chapter number 10. It was their worship of Molech. Well, how did they worship Molech? They offered their children unto Molech. They killed their own children. They offered babies as sacrifices. God said, "Neither let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." And what they would do, they had a giant idol of Molech, and they would build a fire under this idol, and his arms would become red hot, and they would take newborn babies and they would lay them in the arms of Molech. Can you imagine how ungodly is that? How wicked is that? But you know, in America, we sacrifice babies every day through abortion. If you study about what, if you know how that's as ungodly as that, if you ask me. It all results in the same thing. There was a life, now there's not a life. Now, Molech, these babies were already born. In America, the babies are not born. They're aborted from the womb. But they would sacrifice their children under a false god, and God said, don't do that. That was the god of the Ammonites. In verse number 22, most everybody knows this verse, or is at least familiar with it. "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." That's talking about the sin of homosexuality. Where did they learn these abominable things? From the nations they were surrounded by. That was their customs. That was how they worshiped their false gods. In verses 23 and 24, there's something that is called bestiality. He said, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And so you say, my goodness, would somebody do something like that? Yeah. When everybody is doing what's right in their own eyes, anything goes. And we should not be surprised, even in our day. There's all kinds of things that are going on. You shouldn't be surprised. When we leave the worship of the one true, living, holy God, anything goes. Incest, homosexuality, bestiality, all of these things. That's how the nations of the surrounding nations worship their God. Well, guess what? Israel got caught up in doing the same things. That's what the Bible is telling us in verse number 6, where it says, they forsook the Lord and served not him. But at the beginning, it says that they served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods, and it goes down through. They were doing these same things. There is apostasy, first of all. Number two, we go down to verse number 7. There's anger. The Bible said, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Now, does God get angry? Yes, he does. You ever heard somebody say about somebody that was angry? Man, he sure was hot under the collar. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says here that the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. You think that saying comes from the Bible? Probably does. Man, they were hot. What's that mean? They were mad. Was God mad? Was God angry? Yes, he was. The Bible said that he was hot. He does get angry. Psalms chapter 7 and verse number 11 says, God judgeth the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. Our society says, God is love. And you'd think from talking to some people that God never got mad at anything. But God does get angry. God does get hot. Now, I notice this. It doesn't say that he was angry or that he was hot against Moab, Ammon, the Philistines. He had a problem with his own people. They're the ones that should have known better. God was angry with Israel because Israel should have known better. And Israel had been told better. You think the Lord gets angry about things? Well, let me ask you this. Do you ever get angry with what you see is going on out here? That when we see the many things that are going on in the world, I mean, there's some. Does it ever anger you? Does it ever make you upset to see the things that are said and the things that are going on? I see things, and if you're honest tonight, you see things in society that are wrong that will make you angry. The Bible said about Lot. Now, Lot was backslid. Lot lived down in Sodom. And I'm telling you, down in Sodom, there's some wicked things that were going on. You wouldn't even know Lot was saved if the New Testament didn't tell us a few things about him. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 is talking about Lot. And about when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, but it said about Lot, and delivered just Lot. Did you know he was just according to the Bible? That means he was a saved man. They delivered just Lot, the angels did, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Vexed, the Bible says. Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now, you and I probably hear filthy conversation all the time. When we hear filthy conversation, you think about what is being said. Conversation. But in the Bible, when you read the word conversation, it is not only what is being said, but it is what is being done. All of that is incorporated in our conversation. Not just what we say, but what we do. And Lot was vexed by their filthy conversation, not just what they said, but what they were doing. And then it says in parentheses, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So Lot, as he lived down in Sodom, he was vexed in what he saw and what he heard. He was vexed in seeing and hearing. The word vexed, it means this. It means to irritate, to make angry. I know this. When I used to work at the college, and of course, I was a young preacher then, a young pastor. And that was the time, and those of you that know the history of sort of how things have gone, in the that would have been the mid to late 90s. That's when all this diversity stuff, they really began to push the inviting in the homosexuality, and there was a lot of talk even then, and I'd pick up the campus newspaper and I would read about that, and it just vexed me. It just vexed me to see all that stuff, because I could see where it was going. It's not a good thing. If we see stuff like that and it doesn't vex us, it doesn't irritate us, it doesn't bother us, well, there's why doesn't that bother us? If it bothers us, don't you think it bothers the Lord? I mean, we're fallen creatures. We're sinners ourselves. And if we, being fallen and sinners ourselves, we see things that aren't right and it bothers us, how do you think the Lord feels about it? He's holy. He's righteous. Altogether, Psalms 99 and verse number 9 says this, our God is holy. He's holy. And so when he sees sin, and especially this open, this rebellion against his word, I mean, the Zidonians didn't know any better, but the children of Israel, they sure knew better. God had told them not to do these things, and here they were doing it. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. There's anger here. Then there is number three, there's Ammon in verse number 7. The Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And I'm going to say there was anger. How did God deal with that? What was the result? What was the punishment for them serving these other gods? It was to be ruled by those people, the Ammonites, and their false gods begin to rule over the children of Israel. That was the result of them going into this apostasy, going away from the Lord and beginning to serve these other gods. Well, God let these other people begin to rule over the children of Israel. We see in verse number 8, the Bible says, and that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years. All the children of Israel that were on the other side, Jordan, in the land of the Amorites, which is Gilead. First God was vexed, then they were vexed. First God was angry, now they're angry. They're angry because what the Ammonites are doing unto them. They are, in verse number 8, they are oppressed because of their sin. Verse number 9, the Bible says, moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim. They were attacked by their enemies. And if we were to take time to study this out, against Judah, Benjamin, and Ephraim, that's some of the principal, primary, strongest tribes. Benjamin was a tribe that was full of warriors. Judah, one of the biggest tribes. Ephraim had many warriors in it. So the Israel was sore distressed. They were attacked. They were distressed. See, when a nation goes into sin, in America, we ought to know better. We really ought to know better. When a nation goes into sin and rebels against God's word, you know what God does sometimes? God lets a nation come in and begin to rule over them. And that is exactly what we see. The trend that we see happening in the Western world. I'm talking about Europe. I'm talking about Great Britain, England, America. You know what's happening to us? Islam's going to take over. The Muslims and Islam, the radical Islam. Here's an example. In London a few weeks ago, there was another terrorist attack. And there's like, I don't know, several people killed, 20-some people hospitalized. And a Muslim came through in a vehicle, drove through a crowd, run over a bunch of people, jumped out with a knife, killed a police officer, killed some other people. What did they do about that? Now, the mayor of London now is a Muslim. Who'd ever thought that could ever happen? England is supposed to be a Christian nation. How did a Muslim become the mayor of one of the most influential cities over there? But you know what he said? He said, well, that's just part and parcel of living in a big city. Well, you can just come to expect that this is the way it's going to be. But you know what? It didn't used to be that way. See, once upon a time, we didn't worry about things like that. But now, we worry about things like that all the time. Well, if we reject the Lord, see, the Bible says safety is of the Lord. If we reject the Lord, we're going to forfeit our safety net. Safety is of the Lord. Well, we're reaping in the West what we've sowed. And we're being invaded, we're being ruled over by people who serve other gods. Allah and the God of the Bible is not the same thing. Don't let anybody talk that talk. We're not worshiping the same God. All right? Well, there's apostasy, and then there's anger, and then there's Ammon and all these other nations God allows to come in and begin to rule over Israel and oppress them and afflict them and distress them and attack them and all of these things. Well, here we go again in verse number 10. Number 4, there is an appeal. The Bible said, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam. There's an appeal to God. See that? This has happened very quickly, but if you notice down through these verses, this went on for 18 years. 18 years they've been oppressed and attacked, and they were under distress and all these things. And finally, they come around and they begin to cry unto the Lord. They begin to make an appeal unto heaven. Their sin was twofold in verse number 10. They said, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam. They didn't just forsake the Lord, but they began to serve this false god, Balaam. And so their sin was twofold. And this is not the first time that this has happened. This has happened several times now. Just in the book of Judges, look at verse number 11. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines? See what God's saying to them? I've already done this once. I've already delivered you once. Not just once, twice, three times, four times. Verse number 12, the Zidonians also, and the Amalekites, and the Manites did oppress you, and ye cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Well, that's bad news, isn't it? I mean, after a while, God said, I've done it. I've delivered you. This has went on and on and on. And God said, you know what? I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to deliver you anymore. Now, look in verse number 14. What the Lord said. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. Not only does God say, I'm not going to deliver you anymore. There is, wouldn't you call that mocking? Go cry unto them. Go ask them to deliver you. Let them deliver you. You see, Israel, over this time period, they had been involved in everything coming and going. They had all been Democrats, and that didn't work. They had all been Republicans, and that didn't work. They had all gone over to the side of being environmentalists. See, they was worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars. That didn't work. They had all gone over to the, to the nothing matters, morally speaking. I mean, just do whatever you want to, and no gender and no morals. And they had been in that camp, and they had served that God. And that didn't work. They'd been on the humanistic side of things. And it says over in Isaiah, we will worship the work of our own hands. You know, we don't need God. We are able in and of ourselves. They'd been all over the political spectrum. And they'd been all over the moral spectrum. And they had been involved in everything there was under the sun. And they'd given it all a try. And now they're in a mess. And now they're sick of it, and they cry out to the Lord. And God said to them, He said, let them deliver you. See, in America, we will never be out of our mess until we turn to God. We can try everything under the sun. And that's where we're at in America. We're trying everything under the sun. We're trying immorality. We're trying environmentalism. We're trying this party and this party and this extreme leader and this on the other side, and until we turn to God, there'll be no answer for our problems. God said, go let them deliver you. Go let the humanists deliver you. Go let the ecologists, go let the environmentalists see that they're unable to do that. Go let this party and that party. Go let this religion and that religion. But now they are in misery. Look at verse number 16. What the Bible says in the last part. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Misery of Israel. Our country won't be any happier until we turn back to the Lord. Just going to be more miserable. I have great hopes for our country. I really hope and wish and pray that things could get mended and get better. But if our people don't have a change of heart, there'll be no change. It's just fighting every day and infighting and all of these things. They are in misery. But they appealed to the Lord in verse number 10. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Well, we got to get past just crying about our problems. But there's got to be some action. This is really what turns the tide and leads us up to chapter number 11. And God raising up another judge. There has to be some action. And here's the kind of action that brings revival. Verse 15, and the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the children and princes of Gilead said one to another, what man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Here's the kind of action that brings revival. What we actually find here in chapter number 10 is 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And that is exactly what they did. They humbled themselves. That's what a nation has to do. First of all, when my people humble themselves, they did that in verse number 15. Look what they said. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. You know what they were saying there? We've sinned and we deserve to be punished. That's humbling. That takes humility to come along and say, yes, we have done wrong. We deserve to be punished. Do whatever seemeth good unto thee. That was a confession there. That was a humbling by the children of Israel. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. They prayed in verse number 15. They said, we pray thee this day. And they were praying in verse number 10. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And they did that in verse number 10. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. In verse number 13, God said, you have forsaken me and served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more. You know, they could have said, well, God said he wouldn't. We just might as well give up. But they didn't do that. They still continued to seek the Lord. In verse number 15, the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee this day. They kept on and on. They didn't quit. You know, a lot of us, I'm sure, have prayed for revival. We prayed for our nation. Should we give up? Should we just forget about it? I think we need to continue to seek the Lord. Amen. We need to pray. We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to continue to seek God's face. And here's really the key thing. And turn from their wicked ways. In verse number 16, the Bible said, and they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. You see, it wasn't just lip service. But they actually put away the strange gods from among them and began to serve the Lord again. And all that introduces, all that is leading up to chapter number 11. But here's what we can take away from chapter number 10. Now, there's an interesting word in verse number 14. I don't know if you caught it or not. But he talks about their tribulation. You know, when I hear the word tribulation, what do you think about? I think about the tribulation. I think about the great tribulation. Well, this is actually the second time the word tribulation is mentioned in the Bible. It said in verse number 14, go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. Now the tribulation has more to do with Israel than it does for us. The church is not going through the tribulation. The church is going to be raptured out of this world before the tribulation comes. Lot is a picture of the church. The fire and brimstone could not fall on Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot was delivered out of Sodom. If you read Genesis chapter number 19, you'll find that. The flood could not come upon the earth until Noah was safe inside the ark. God's people are not going through the tribulation, but Israel is going through the tribulation. They had already been warned about tribulation. Look in your Bibles, and I'm going to close with this, Deuteronomy chapter number 4. The first time you find the word tribulation in the Bible is actually in Deuteronomy chapter number 4. And here God is speaking to the children of Israel. I'm going to close with this. What do we learn? What do we take away from this? Deuteronomy chapter number 4. The children of Israel had already been told by the Lord what to do in times like they found themselves in Judges chapter number 10. This is why they didn't quit seeking the Lord. This is why they had faith that God would raise up another judge, even though they deserved to be punished. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, I'm not going to read very much. I'm going to start though in verse number 28. God is talking about when they came into the land of Canaan, where they are in the book of Judges, what was going to happen and what they were going to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 28, God had already told them, and there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. That's exactly what they were doing in Judges chapter 10. Verse number 29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Isn't that good? Well, we need to seek the Lord. Look what he said. When thou art in tribulation. There's the first time the word tribulation is mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned in connection with Israel. God said, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice. Now, look here in this parenthesis. When you find a parenthesis, it's there to explain. It's there to tell us, to further enlighten us on what he's talking about. And look how good this is. In parentheses, it says, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. Amen. You know what we take away from Judges chapter number 10? God sure is merciful. Amen. God sure is good. Boy, if we got what we deserved, we'd be in far worse shape than we are tonight. Why is it as well with us as it is? Because God is merciful. God is merciful. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. I love this. He said, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. God had already told them before they went into the land of Canaan what they would end up doing. But God gave them the remedy before they got there. And God told them, if you'll seek me with all your heart, God's merciful. He'll not forget you. He'll not leave you there. But I tell you, before the Lord helped them, though, this time, they had to get real serious. Why don't we have revival? Why don't we see more done? Maybe we've not got real serious. Well, they had to get real serious. But under all that, even in the latter days, you know what we can take away from this? Because Judges is a type of the latter days. That God is a merciful God. Don't ever forget that. God, our God is a merciful God. He might raise up some strange leaders. But you know what? He's the one that raises them up. Nobody does anything unless the Lord allows it. From the president on down. He's got some strange people in the book of Judges. Just like we've got some strange goings on in our day and time. So what do we take away from it? God is merciful. Seek the Lord. God's still able. God's still working. God's still moving. All right. That leads us into this strange fellow, Jephthah. Read ahead in chapter number 11. I am really enjoying studying about these people. And some of them we know very little about. So read ahead. I appreciate you coming out tonight. I hope you...